Blog Talk Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections. That I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Keri Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Keri Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
road, but I never lost my voice, I never lost my health, I never lost my praise, and I am still you for me.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Understanding the importance of public relations as it pertains to you guys out there who are entrepreneurs like myself. I'm Carrie Hines, and when I started focusing in on this industry, oh, pretty close to 30 years ago, I knew that it was very important to gain exposure. And most folks who embark upon an entrepreneurial type journey or career probably or maybe not understand what public relations is all about and how it's an important stepping stone for anybody in business. My book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, really, really speaks to this. It covers every area of understanding everything, and we're celebrating the information that's in the book. Big anniversary for it, so I'm real excited about it. It's out there on Amazon, in case you're interested. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. But again, the PR, which is what public relations is referred to, is really where you are taking your message for your business, your product, whatever it is that you've got going on that you're looking to increase sales or bring awareness to. What you want to do, the very, very first step, engaging the public's interest in what you have, is to create the understanding of how it's beneficial to the folks you're trying to reach. So just wanted to begin this talk, as we kind of, again, look at all of the different aspects of trying to get your business going here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I think this is a great way for folks to, you know, begin looking at how to connect with folks. That's what public relations is all about, and there's so much more to PR, and this is how you begin, again, how to get rich in the hair business and so many other different ways.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I was just thinking, and you know that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, The Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media, and they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Tamu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important, and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece, because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication, and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation. Because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camu Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open. Our archives are open, and I told her she has free rein to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby, and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I notice for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that, you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside, or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece, what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, yep. But it's not really Black history. If you want to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that just by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, I've never wanted to just, just to look at the shows and not, even if they have Black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be Black, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not Black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be Black, and somebody else is, because it's like I call them real, invisible kind of, that can fit into anybody's mindset.
It's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart, all of those, are things that you can, paint and make it seem like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you invite them to present it, and I think that's very healthy. And again, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the you know, the confrontations.
Me
with,
Too moments.
Yeah, the Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
Right. And, well, I saw, and again, not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody's, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient, he wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get, who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time. But the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that. But I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting. And he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but he had his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. But I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University. And there is, you know, there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected to, he's from Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. That's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are – sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was HAIRADIO. It was the Hair Radio Show, so it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it, but at that time it was HAI Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They start on the podcast.
Right, right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. And I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story. And then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder to just mention, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s and started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which just means one of the old big-time airlines. And got with my coworkers, and I was inspired to create a children's character. And I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know this school, it's USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to USC. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A. And so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John, and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard, which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, you know, Billboard magazine, and he had been they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at
who?
His article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, yes. She's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in LA, they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in L.A. know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century. Or the last couple of centuries. Yeah, so I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline allowed us, supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine there, Aircraft Airplane Magazine. So you guys
know
the
Oh, I remember those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Oh. So the magazine, they had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast, they would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane. Well, that did it for me. That did it for me. So that's how I kind of that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success at the airline. And then the big news is the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that
oh, wow.
led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out mm-hmm. to that building, and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm, and I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors on Sunset, and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in the conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember. And they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that mm-hmm. commercial of my cassette onto 875 station advertisements. So we were in
wow.
875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show, now remember this is Los Angeles. He had
wow.
opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter, Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays, and that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in L.A. anyway, at 7:30 in the evening, called the Fluff the Bear Radio Show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart Theater called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Spike. Oh, Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow. Now we're listening to Hair Radio Network. Or which one are, where are we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Terry?
Well, that's the thing. And I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time with two assistants. And again, upstairs in Newark, it was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips, and that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first Hair Radio Show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is, but they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about like the cosmetology side of hair care. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did like natural hair, but he was like a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it. And they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You could dial in, but it was, you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
say
hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it, since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to. And I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Okay. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
talk about some of the product. Yeah, talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up, so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, the Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is the Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that, and we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry. Let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that
wonderful
feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change. And I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began. And we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a, you know, Steve Harvey-ish, you know, type radio show in which, and I didn't know if it was going to be accepted. I said, you know what? 3 hours every day, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 hours a day live? Oh, my goodness.
That's commitment.
That's commitment. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And so I began, you know, producing that, never having been on this particular broadcast platform. But I started, and I had some friends, and they walked me through how to turn the buttons and hit the different things. I never done it on that platform. And I got started with show number one, which is still out there for folks to listen to. But the issue with that is there is a big difference from listening back then to those three-hour shows. Like, my first week was just chaos. I didn't know what I was doing and hitting different buttons and all of that stuff. Well, again, that was in 2015, and since then, we've had quite success with it. We're talking about, you know, like close to 1,000 shows later. And so I'm just so grateful. I really am. So you ask about some of the guests who were on the show. Again, early on, it was just about giving hair tips. And so I would have on illuminated hairstylists. So folks who had reached a certain level in the industry, as well as others who they were just sharing their success with other hairstylists who were on the way up. And I felt that all could contribute to better hair care for everybody. And that was the whole idea and the foundation of the Hair Radio Show. But I do have to share this. It all sounds like, oh, it's perfectly normal to talk about hair on radio. Well, yeah, it sounds perfectly normal now because of something called a podcast. But when I created and I first told individuals, I'm going to do a show called The Hair Radio Show, I was literally laughed at. Literally to my face laughed at. A show about hair on radio? What? Nobody wants what?
You just got to know who you are, right?
Truth. Well, let me tell you, Mary, that was how it was looked at back in 1995. So no one knew of a word called podcast, in which podcast talks about all kind of a variety of subjects. Screwing in a light bulb can be a podcast. Well, nowadays, that's accepted. But in my day, again, there was no such thing as a podcast. We preceded the internet. So there was nothing but called like radio. And so I like to think of myself as, you know, the father of the podcast, if you will. Because that's what it was.
Oh, absolutely,
and
a pioneer.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh, and yeah, when you talk about it's your day, I mean, it's still your day because
you
have not stopped growing and you've expanded just tremendously in the topics, in the range, and how you tie things together. It's like I know you have one book, but you need to make another book to explain kind of this rise and
yes,
how you process, because it is amazing.
Well, you're very kind. And yes, I do have a couple of things out there that's available for you guys to read, and I'll talk about that. But Mary, that's the whole thing. And talking about laughing at the idea and notion of talking about hair, I remember here in, I was in Jersey, so the Northeast, and New York, the big newspaper, we have a couple. We have the big New York Times, which is a daily newspaper here for all the city. But we also had the New York Daily newspaper, and that was just as popular out there. Now, these are not, you know, I'd call, you know, throw papers for the urban side of town, if you know what I mean. So these were newspapers that reached across the board to every walk of life in New York City. And I remember that at that time, the reporter in New York, in the daily newspaper anyway, they used to do a section called Radio Something. It was a radio section. They used to talk about radio shows back then. And he was doing, I used to read the man's column. I was so excited that we would be mentioned in his column one day. I was so excited. And so that's what happened. I remember he printed something about hair radio, but it wasn't all that kind. What he said was that, here it is, here's the announcement to tune in to hair radio show, but why would anybody really care so much? Hair is so esoteric. That was the word he used. I didn't know really all that.
Esoteric. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yes, and I had to look it up then too. But I knew it wasn't a pat on the back, so to speak. So I was just happy that my name was in the newspapers. It was literally in the New York Daily newspaper, just that one line or two. And I didn't appear again in the New York Daily newspaper until maybe 10 years later, when I did a 10-year celebration about the Hair Radio show. And it was done at this huge place in Manhattan called the TV of Museum of the, hold on, let me get it right, the Museum of Television and Radio, of TV and Radio.
Oh, wow.
And I had never, this is not a place where you see a lot of folks from the hood going up into, okay, I'm going to just put it honest, out there. And this was where they had been around for like years, paying tribute to broadcast, and we're talking about broadcast, okay? And it is called, again, the Museum of TV and Radio. Now, they changed their name just recently to the Pelley Center, and and you can Google that out there. So they're still around, but they had a name change since we were there. They allowed me to come in. I couldn't afford to rent the space, and they allowed me to do a special 10-year celebration in their location. And I remember one of my good friends, Marilyn Bell, who is, she had a magazine called Black Elegance, BE, that she was the editor of or behind producing it. So she came to our event. So many other folks came to the Museum of TV and Radio in Manhattan in New York City to our celebration. And it was wonderful. They had chairs. You could all sit around and listen through the headsets and talk through their mics. And it was beautiful, a beautiful location. So I've got pictures of that too. So that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So you ask about hair products and all of that in my books. I recognized that I had a lot to share. And I tell all the fans of the show, even to this day, that it's got to be something that is real and true. And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to emulate what I do or to be inspired by what I do. All that's wonderful and good and all of that. But it's flattery, but mine is really, truly organic. Like I tell people, well, you know, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show, my three-hour live broadcast, which is Monday through Friday through Blog Talk. I said, you're listening to that from 6 to 9 New York Times, 5 to 8 Central. But that's only 3 hours each day. I said, I literally am the Hair Radio Show 24 hours a day. This is not just something I turn on and turn off at the end at 9 o'clock when we go off the air that day. I'm literally living the life of the Hair Radio Show. I do interviews, I book guests, I give people updates. I write down things. It is a full on operation, Mary, a full on operation. So that was what I generally
do. Amazing. I mean, you still have to take care of yourself. So thank goodness you finally established business hours. But
yes.
I know even when business per se is not something you're engaging in, you are still wrapped up in business things. So, I mean, we all benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you got it, Mary. And that's really how we started the Hair Radio Show, then morphed into the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're still there in that space. And then I turned that into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio network. And what that was designed to do at the time, this was in the early 2000s when I first created the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, is what I called it back then, in which I would literally have a hair radio show going on around the clock. And that's how I started. And that was way ahead of everybody, way ahead. The only issue at that time in the early 2000s is that many of the hair salons didn't have computers in our community. They might have had them in the other communities. We didn't have that many of that. I used to literally go and walk from salon to salon in the Northeast. So this is not something, you know, I didn't just wake up and decide I'm going to do hair radio. I lived every drop. I wrote hand cards and would pass out things and walk and talk to people. I went anywhere I could find to get the ear of folks who would listen, literally. And so that was my big thing. It really was. And I tried my darndest and kept beating the drum of the hair radio show out there. And we kind of kept on going from there. And that was really the generic start of how things kind of picked up. And my 24-hour network, I started it, and I said, you know what, I even knew that that was too early and ahead of its time. And I knew and felt it. I knew and felt it then. That was in like maybe 2003 or 4, something like that. So years later, long after I created even the 3-hour broadcast, long after I created that, because when I tell people that we're on or about around 1,000 broadcasts or what have you, it makes people think that I'm talking about my entire 25-year career or what have you, and I'm not. I'm only talking about the last several years as the morning version, the morning show, the
wow.
radio morning show. So what I've done, the difference between that original 24-hour network that I created, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, even the sharp-eared listeners, some of our interviews, our classic interviews from that time period, you'll hear me intro them as the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Well, you guys know out there, I no longer call it the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I call it the Hair Radio Streaming Network. So we are streaming these days, and I'll talk about that down the road, about the difference between broadcasting and streaming and all of that, and somehow some parts are the same and so forth and so on. But our streaming network is what has really done amazing things. And so we're the first to have that, which is based in hair and beauty. So I kept that theme going on our new version of this 24-hour network. But now I get to put on classic shows that I couldn't have done back then. I get to air the entire 3-hour episodes from our amazing archive of Hair Radio Morning Show episodes. And so largely when you tune in, you have that opportunity to listen to some of that, to listen back literally to some of those classic episodes with amazing guest stars that you asked me about earlier. Those guest stars include folks like CeCe Peniston, the amazing Dionne Warwick, you're talking about folks who, CeCe Peniston is the queen of dance, sold millions of records through Billboard. They kept track of all of that. But CeCe was one of the most sweetest celebrities. She was the very first celebrity that I think I interviewed ever for radio. She was kind enough to come up to my production studio, I told you, in Newark, New Jersey, And she and her manager, she came there. It was a three-story walk-up. And I sent a limo for Cece to come to our station in Newark, and she did. And she was just extraordinary and sat down with us. But the first time, I think she came to the production studio, and there was just one mic. So we were real close in those days, literally.
Wow.
And we shared that one mic. And Cece was so sweet. She's the one out there, if you guys know, she had the big hit record called Finally. And so many others, you know, We Got a Love Thing and all these other songs that she had. Just huge success. And she's still out there, literally. So Cece came to the studio and did the interview with us at that time. And she, like I said, she was the very first to come to the broadcast. And she had huge hit records and all of that. And so from her, I went on to interview a lot of other music, local folks in music and all of that. But to have the kind of success that I would later experience interviewing folks like Ray Goodman and Brown, all those folks, they were on the show. And I think they started their radio show after coming to my radio show. But I went on to interview folks like Dionne Warwick and, again, Melba Moore. You're talking about Grammy and Tony Award-winning names. Gerald Austin, who also won a Grammy. I also interviewed the fella from The Four Tops. I interviewed so many people.
And their assistants, like the guy, Mary Wilson's assistant.
Yes, recently. Yeah, that's right. Well, the great Mary Wilson. And again, we touch across the landscape of entertainment and, and political world. I've interviewed folks from TV and movies and all that wonderful good stuff and folks I've been most inspired by. But, yeah, Mary Wilson that we lost not all that long ago, her last assistant was a big wonderful fellow that I had not known before this interview piece. And he came to our show and told us the story. He was the person who discovered this amazing, incredible singer that she had passed. And you guys know Mary Wilson. She was one of the supreme singers, literally singing right next to Diana Ross and the other lady who had passed away earlier, that they kind of made that movie. We're talking about Florence Ballard, who they kind of made that movie Dreamgirls about. So all this. So, I've been able to tell the stories. And that's the other thing that goes back to all of this success is that being able to allow folks to come on this broadcast and tell their stories. About their amazing connections with some of these superstars. So who else did we have? I've literally interviewed folks that I really wanted to know about. My other favorite big one. Go ahead, Mary. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask, who were some of your favorites? I know one of them that I found really entertaining, and it might just be because of the story, was the glue girl. It wasn't her, but the one who helped her remedy her issue.
Yes. Well, that's a good one. That's a juicy
You're just
one.
Always really progressive.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I've had many folks, everybody from being on radio, literally live with the White House when Michelle Obama was in the White House, her stylist, Johnny Wright at the time, who went on to do his own TV show on VH1, with friends of mine as well from the West Coast. But yes, Johnny was on our show. He literally told us all about being Michelle Obama's hairstylist at the White House, and that was just incredible. I think at the time also one of the biggest folks was Beyonce's dad, who was on our show, Matthew Knowles. And Matthew came to the Hair Radio Morning Show as a guest. He had no idea what we were really about. And when he got on, as many of you guys have heard his interview with us, he was so impressed, I think, because he had a chance to reconnect with his roots. And he told us about when Beyonce was a little girl and he had his family and his ex-wife, Tina Knowles. They had that hair salon out in the Houston area. So these were opportunities for me to tell, let them tell their stories. And but one of my favorites, because that's, I think, your question also, was that the gentleman who was over at CBS worked with the Good Times TV show.
John Amos?
Well, he worked with all of those people. John is still somebody I follow on social media to this day, out of northern New Jersey. But no, the gentleman's name is Eric Monte. And you guys, I was a little kid watching Good Times and the Jeffersons and what's happening and what's happening now and all that stuff. And I remember every time I would look at the episodes, I'd see the name on my screen, Eric Monte. And I said, who in the world's name is Eric Monte? And that's, I never knew who it was, but I always wondered who this Eric Monte was. And it took years before I would figure out that it said the creator, Eric Monte. And so that's all I knew. To me, Norman Lear, who was the Caucasian gentleman, was the person who created these characters. That's what I thought. But it did have his name there. It said Eric Monte, and also the gentleman who played Michael. Let me just make it clear. It was Mike Evans and Eric Monte. Mike Evans was the one who played Lionel number one on the Jeffersons TV show with the Afro. They later had.
You know, I am remembering now because he wrote for it. Yes, I'm remembering now.
Exactly. Wow. Well, he was one of the co-creators of, I mean, it's an interesting story that I tell and I've played on the Hair Radio show, and I'll get it on sometime for you guys when you go over to our 24-hour streaming network at www.hairadio.com. You'll hear the story being told over there. But, yes, to get to the point of that, Eric Monte and Mike Evans went out to Los Angeles to pursue show business careers. And they both ended up connecting with this producer who is a super producer named Norman Lear. He's still with us. And, so Mike Evans and Eric Monte, and Eric Monte went on himself to create a movie that is, of anybody of a certain age, it is identifiable with our culture called Coolie High. Well, he wrote
High.
Based on his life. And so Eric, and Mike, and again, Mike Evans, if you guys remember on the TV show Good Times, the family's name was Evans. Well, that's why it was named Evans, because it was named after Mike Evans. And the little kid's name was Michael. That's why his name was Michael Evans. He was named after Mike Evans, the actor and the writer. So so that went on, and the whole story unfolded. And we were so lucky to have this amazing – when I came back to radio, as I told you, I came back to the morning show and created the three-hour broadcast called the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2015 – I had the opportunity to interview one of my childhood heroes, and that is the incredible Eric Monte, who welcomed me back to radio. And along with his, so that meant the world to me to have, and Eric Monte provided a special message to all the fans of the broadcast. So that is something that I will always take with me. And that happened around the same time, the end of 2014, when the New York Daily newspaper, remember I told you about the two earlier times, I had brief mentions in that newspaper. But this time, at the end of 2014, they dispatched a big-time writer and photographer to my home area right here in Brooklyn, where I still live, and produce everything, to do a big story on me. That's out there on the internet. It's out there, Kerry Hines, New York Daily News article. And that is still out there, and they did a big story on me. same day that I got to interview the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And so, and his words were, "What is the Hair Radio Show?" I never will forget that. But yeah, that kind of told me, you know what, maybe you're getting somewhere, Carrie. So when I came back to do the live show, the 3-hour morning show, that's the actual title of the New York newspaper, the New York Daily newspaper. They wrote, "Brooklyn hosts to revive hair radio show online." I'm not kidding. It's out there on the internet just like that. So, wow. You know, I'm very grateful. And that was one. I also had some of the publications, like the New York Amsterdam newspaper did a big story of me as well. And so, and I've appeared in different magazines, hair magazines, you know, the Salon Operator newspaper, and a big publication called American Salon Magazine, which I think they're connected with the big international beauty show here in New York. They've had me on their magazine covers and for the events and all of that. I'm still connected with a lot of these people. We've become great friends over the decades and just been doing amazing things. But, yeah, that's been my life. That's been my life.
Wow.
And I didn't know I had so much to say.
Oh, wow. I bet we could go on and have more episodes of
yeah.
that, because you just scratched the surface of what even I know. So
yeah.
I just thank you for, like putting in all the work, all the time, all the effort, and enjoying it, making us enjoy the journey,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Well, Mary, before we go, I just want the folks to know how appreciative I am for you to take the time to give me a chance to tell more of my story. A lot of the fans don't know these things. I've never shared them like this. And I wanted to take a moment to say how inspired I am for making the acquaintance of Mary Reed Johnson and bringing you to the Hair Radio Network. And I know a little bit about Hair Head Heart. But what can you fill us in to tell us with before we say goodbye? What can you tell us about Hair Head Heart? So I'm going to switch the table back around.
Okay, now put me on the spot. Well, generically, Hair Head and Heart has to do, you know, top down hair, literally the mind, the things that go into thinking about not only processes, but you know, how to make your career better. So business development, career development, that type of thing. So hair, head, and then the heart is the passion that not only I have, but the people who are service providers in the industry to make that just better. So anything concerning hair, head, and heart, I offer services still. I'm not sure how many more I'll be doing that, but I still offer services. And I'm licensed as an instructor as well as a service provider in Michigan and Minnesota. But I'm offering more and more workshops because it's easier to reach people these days. And so, you know, look for different things online, and I'll keep you posted as that.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm saying thank you to Mary Reed Johnson, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Mary. Outstanding. Great job.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Thursday morning, May 19th of 2022. It's our show number 716 as we broadcast live out of Brooklyn, New York. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Let me just bring to the line my brand-new amazing co-star. You guys know her. She is out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Big uniting right here in this country of the North and South, my wonderful, wonderful, new, amazing Miss Nicole Marie. Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Good morning. How are you, Carrie?
I'm doing great. All of that. That was
great.
A big build-up. Yes. Well, yes, it's mid-show, and we just want to welcome all the fans of the broadcast again to this part. And it's 716, that's a lot. Lots
wow,
to kind of sink our teeth into. Yeah, so really excited. Oh, yeah. Now, today, I don't know if you guys have been listening out there, but if you have, then you heard we kind of ran a piece that we've done with Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. You guys know her. She's kind of like drops in as a guest co-host from time to time. So it was just an opportunity to look back. And I got something, I'm always getting something from it. Even interviews that we've run before, I usually sit back like the fans of the show and literally try to get something from all these amazing and incredible experts that we have. So so I'm going to ask you guys, So what about you? Did you get anything out of this whole thing with Mary Reed Johnson and the whole interview that she did with me behind the scenes?
I definitely got something out of this behind the scenes. I do every time that I listen. But for me now, it has somewhat changed. And it's changed in the fact that your phenomenal story and the whole foundation for everything that you do and have done up until this point, I see it firsthand. I know that this is real. This is true. You work so hard to make every show truly organic. You put the time, you put the effort in, because I see it behind the scenes. You definitely live this life of hair radio. 100%.
And that's exactly what, go ahead, Nicole Marie.
I mean,
as
like
they
I
say,
said, you're all, yes. And if I can just brag on you for a minute, you are truly the most humble person, and you are always striving to improve. You always want to do better, to provide the best quality program, best experience for the listeners, for the team, and I just want to just thank you for that. Because
you
put the time and effort into making this the best broadcast.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. And with that always striving to be better, I agree with you there. And that trying to do just making the show sound as good as we can and make the experience something special and memorable every day for the fans of this broadcast. And a big part of that was in the decision to bring our incredible Nicole Marie to this broadcast every day from out of Water Valley. You know, folks have listened to your story here, and I'm so happy. Yes, because we want the show to represent a big female presence, because that's what inspired the show, are
right.
women of color. We wouldn't have a hair radio show. There never would have been had it not been for women of color. And their incredible contribution, not just to the hair and beauty industry, but to the world at large, to
so
society.
Much. Yes.
Exactly. So we wanted, we probably, we'll do everything we can to bring as much as we can to the broadcast. So we look to tell all the stories that are important, and we need to have somebody
exactly.
who I feel embodies and exemplifies this. This charge, and I think that you fit the bill across the board. Someone who was literally right under our nose coming through the Vet Talk radio show. So this
well,
is
thank
something
you so
that's
much.
Very
I appreciate
special.
That very much, and I'm so happy
well,
to
listen,
be here.
It is great to have you with us, and we're going to just keep everything moving and shaking and doing everything that we
yes.
can. I'm really excited. There's a lot going on. We're going to be making all kinds of program announcements and all kinds of things. So I'm really, really
very
happy.
Exciting.
And, yeah, it's a great time. And just wanted to, again, thank all the fans. And I do mean fans, literally. We'll talk a little bit
yes.
about it coming up. So you guys are going to hear us today. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of good stuff, but we also will be playing some great throwback. You know, it's Thursday, so we're going to play some great throwback music. We're also going to play some of the interviews that every so often I got to look through the vault and bring out some things that you guys have wanted to hear me play again on this show, and some of the folks who kind of stood out in some celebrity interviews, whatever we can pull together this morning. It's a hodgepodge show, I call it, which I usually do on Fridays, but it's also Thursday, and we want to keep things moving along. So I'll tell you what. We are going to take a little bit of a throwback music break. We're going to keep things moving along this morning. And when we come back, Otto, you guys know him. He'll be joining us to give us his take on this morning's happenings and what he thought about what he heard this morning. So listen, again, throwback. Do you remember the TBT, Nicole Marie, where everybody was talking about hashtag throwback and posting old
yes.
pictures on Thursday? I wonder,
yes,
do they still
do
that? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think as much, but...
Okay. Well, I never stop. Here we go, folks. It's Fancy with Destiny's Child, of course, featuring Beyonce. We'll talk on the other side. Stay with us.
All right.
I don't fancy you too much, 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 I don't fancy you too
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hinds.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hinds.
All right, we're back live. It's Thursday morning, May 19th of 2022. I'm Keri Hinds, and I am so thrilled. It is, again, our show number 716. This is mid-show. This is mid-show. We're coming up. We're literally at the midpoint of the broadcast. And, of course, Nicole Marie is with us out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Again, good morning to you, Nicole Marie.
Good morning. All right. Good morning.
Yes. Happy Throwback Thursday. And I'm sitting here listening to Beyonce's song from way back. This is back in the 90s.
We good to hear
love
that
kind of
yes.
every so
that.
Often. Really? Okay. Well, her dad, of course, the one who created Destiny's Child, was a guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So
nice.
We always want to, we've got some great folks who've been with us to, you know, kind of remind us who we are. So I love it. I love having these guests and all of that. So want to kind of bring Otto, as you guys know, he joins us. They're out to broadcast here and they're helping us to kind of stay on track with the broadcast. Good morning, Otto. O-T-T-O.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning,
How are
Otto.
You good morning, Nicole Marie. How are you on this Throwback Thursday?
Great, great. And yourself?
Yeah. Oh, good, good. A little rainy here, up here in the Northeast, but, you know, it'll pass. It'll pass.
Great.
Yeah.
But,
great.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, how is it down in Water Valley?
Yeah.
It is 72 degrees already, and it will be 90 today.
Ooh.
Okay, now I'm sorry I ask. Okay.
Yeah, lucky you. Yeah, Nicole.
Yeah. Wow. How awesome is that? Well, listen, I am so happy to have you guys with us. We have to always welcome our fans. These are folks who keep us here on the broadcast, but also our incredible advertisers like FixYourFeet.com, you know, we're shouting out Dr. Raglan, as well as Rugged Evolution Beard Care. These are legacy advertisers. They've been with me forever and a day and have just been instrumental in keeping us. We wouldn't be here talking to you if it weren't for these folks. And then we look in the future, yes, and the folks who kind of join us from time to time and want to promote their products and all, that's what the Hair Radio Show is all about. So if you guys want to advertise, jump on. We're happy to have guests. And, you know, whatever you're doing, we try to bring it all together and put it on out there around the world, literally. What folks don't realize, some folks know. And if you heard Mary, then you'll know. But, this is the longest-running Hair Radio Morning Show, as you hear the lady say all the time. And it's really, it is. The very first type of broadcast like this on AM and FM radio, period, ever. First to be syndicated. So I'm very, very pleased and very happy about those things. And came back to do the, and you would think this was our first time at bat doing a 24-hour network. It's not. Let me tell you how far ahead we were. I did this in 2003 or 2004. That's how long ago I did it, the first 24-hour network on the internet, back in 2003 or 4. I came all the way back. Look how many years later to do the same thing, still before other folks.
That's what I was thinking, Kari. Yeah. If you were just joining us in the fans, please tune in to go back and listen today on hairradio.com, Thursday, May 19th, 2022, show 716. If you want a window into Kari Hines, the entrepreneurship. I love that Mary Reed Johnson piece and Fluff the Bear. You know, it was a great tribute to your mom, I have to say that, because what she wanted, you know, to do, and you were able to do that for her, and Fluff the Bear went off to sleep. It just shows me the decades.
Well, he's still in hibernation for a little bit. He's not dead, kids. He's just in hibernation.
The experience and the effort, I can understand why you're known as the pioneer in the hair and beauty industry, Kari. Amazing journey.
Thank you. And what I appreciate that, Otto. What I didn't share about the Fluff wonderful piece that we ran, and we're talking about how I got started in the industry and that was creating Fluff the Bear, the children's stories. And that was out in Los Angeles. And again, inspired by my friend John from Jersey, who, like I said, interviewed Queen Latifah for Billboard magazine. Every time I see her on this TV show called The Equalizer, I think about that interview that John did with her and that I was reading in the magazine that inspired me to create, to be creative. I said, if John could do it, I can do it. And yes, he was very smart, going to USC, which is a very, very expensive school out here in L.A. It is super expensive. Very good school. And but he inspired me, and I thank him for that. And I went on to do the Fluff the Bear stuff and just kept on really grinding it out. That's how I got to go to all those fancy parties where I told you guys I saw Jamie Foxx and talked with him. And I spoke to Bill Bellamy at the time, who was very popular on MTV. It was just a lot of celebrities there, the fellow from, because that was the Vibe launch party I keep talking about in downtown L.A. So John Singleton, the famous director, was there with, at that time he was dating Tyra Banks, the TV personality and all that, the former model, and so many other folks. So it was really, John Singleton is the one who did Boys from the Hood, the big movie that made a big splash way back in the day. So I had a chance, thanks to John, because he worked for Billboard magazine and The Hollywood Reporter. Those are trade papers for people in the industry. So if you're in the entertainment industry seriously, then you read these trade papers. Here on the East Coast and other parts, we have Backstage as well, which a lot of folks know about, but some don't. Yeah. If you're trying to model and all this kind of stuff, Backstage, even if, I'm not sure if they still print, but I know they're online. So all of these types of things, if you're trying to get somewhere, you know, so that's what he did. And because they, you know, Billboard is the staple of everything, he got a chance to get tickets. And so he would drag me along or he would go, and then come and tell me about the behind the scenes. So I remember he went to he did something with, at that time, Don Cornelius and Soul Train. And so he would come back and tell me who's really, what they were really like and what they were really doing and what they were really saying.
Wow,
so
that's
I got
great.
A real behind, yeah, real behind the scenes.
Right, get that insight.
Yes, big education on show business. And for Fluff the Bear, when I came back to the East Coast and brought the money that I had from the people, and one of my good friends, that was about 95, I'm going to have him to join me. I spoke with him about it. I think he's going to come on there and kind of give you guys a little bit of some context of how amazing all of this was. But here, when I created that, I flew out from L.A. back to New York because they had us the Grammys. Had added categories that recognized children's music and children's entertainment. So I was one of the members at that time. And wow. So I was very excited. Well, yeah, they had just started the category. You look it up, it's on
nice.
The internet. And
nice.
So I was very pleased. Yeah, the only thing is that I love doing the children's things, and everybody has always asked me, why don't you go back to it? Because I've done very well with it. But I don't know. Maybe one day. Right now my focus is to make the best family or, you know, whatever content, whatever we're producing and working on, the best it can be.
Yeah.
And that's where we are today. So that's a little bit of some more background. I guess you're tired of background this morning. Let's take a little bit of
it's great information, Carrie. It's great.
Oh, I don't know.
It's great,
know,
to hear
folks.
The foundation and for our listeners to know, you know.
Yeah.
This great foundation. And how
Thank
everything
you.
Came
well, I
about.
Appreciate that. Yeah, this is true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So I'm real
exactly.
happy about that. Yeah, good stuff. Well, listen, this interview, you guys heard me open up this morning with a song by Melba Moore called Just Do It Me. She has some other stuff that's out right now. This was an interview, and Melba's been with us a couple times on this very show. She is a Tony Award-winning actress who was very, very, very well known, literally had a TV show and big, big things out there. She's done. She's been across the TV, a mega superstar, and she's still going strong. She's going to be taking part in an event that Upscale is also promoting, Upscale Magazine. We'll talk a little bit about all that stuff. But here's the interview that Melba and I did a while. I think this was her last one, promoting Just Do It Me. So I'll get that on for you right after the commercial. Stay with us, and we're going to just have more music and so much more. Just stay with us. Lots more to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Am I right, folks? Otto?
Oh, yeah.
Nicole
yes,
Marie?
Sir.
Okay.
Yes, you are right.
Stay tuned. Yes,
okay.
Stay tuned. Yes.
Yeah, we'll be right back, folks. We've got more to go. Stay with us.
It's an all-new special on the top 10 fashion icons right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. A couture countdown featuring some of the best-known ladies in pop culture and beyond. And it's hosted by our very special contributor, Miss Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. So tune in. It's airing now across Hair Radio platforms.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and, moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show
I'm Carrie Hines. We have with us a very special legend returning to our broadcast this morning. It is my honor to welcome back the amazing Miss Melba Moore. Good morning, Melba. Good morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I have to say, first of all, you were kind enough to grace us with an appearance right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about 5 years ago, so it's been a little while since, you know, we've seen you, but we've been following you.
Right, right.
Literally following you. We've been following you on social media.
Well, I was going to say, that's how you do it on the Internet now. You follow people.
Exactly. This is true. Well, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, you have a big hit record. And so we're honored to have you talking about this right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with just your adoring fans and folks, again, you know, with the audience out there. What can you tell us about your new record and how did it come about? Just Doing
well,
Me.
It's what people call house music, which is a very, 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 very popular dance genre. There's several different genres now. I mean, a lot developed since back in the late 70s, and all we had was disco.
Right,
that was
exactly.
Different genres. And probably it's going to develop more since people are kind of shut in and they have, you know, more time to focus on things that, well, we need joy during these times. We need to have something to lift us up, and so we might be dancing around our house, but it's necessary.
That's very true.
I've always considered, you know, entertainment to be something that's kind of a staple. It doesn't come first like your rent and those, you know, loop over your head and stuff, but you have to have joy, you have to have entertainment. And so, like, for this to happen to me, especially as I'm approaching my senior years, is kind of amazing.
Oh, well, listen, let me tell you something. That song, when I heard, I couldn't believe my ears. It kind of, what I love about it, it kind of has a vibe that kind of mixes a whole bunch of genres that we have known in the past with all kinds of new infusions of sounds. I was like, whoa, okay. So this is why I believe, Ms. Moore, that it is connecting with a lot of the youth out there. In my opinion, but it's good for everybody.
One of the things that really strikes me about it is George Pettis' piano solo. That's very reminiscent to me of when we first had modern jazz, and you had people like Horace Silver, Thelonious Monk. I mean, playing the kind of jazz that we had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's something you've heard before or not. When you first hear it, it's going to say, oh, look at that. I like that. And I think that's maybe what's connecting with the young people. It's not something
that's
you have to have heard before for it to affect you that way.
Exactly. Now, I want to go back. One of the things I remember after our last interview, and it happens every so often, we'll have great guests like yourself. And the moment that we are finished with the interview, I said, oh, I forgot to ask about that. I forgot to bring that up. So I have listened back, and I said, oh, my goodness, I've always wanted to talk to you a little bit more about different things in your amazing career. And to me, and so many others out there, you know, you really came through and got a great position in the entertainment world, which was so – it's rare these days, you know, let alone – you know, several years back where folks were, you know, just not so open and willing to give folks just coming into the industry a chance, and especially people of color. So, yeah, so when you look back at this career, and I've seen all of, well, quite a bit. You've done a lot, okay? You have a true career out there in the entertainment. What do you say when you, even just fans like myself, we all, you know, look back and we ask you, what's the biggest question you kind of get about your career? What do people most want to know about, and I have my suspicion of what I think they most want to know about you, but what do you say? What's the number one question that the fans come up and talk to you about when they get a chance about your career? Because I know what it is, I think.
They usually want to know, when did you really know that you could sing and that you were in control of yourself and that you had it going on? And I can't answer that question because I still don't know that. But that's the number one question. I guess I give off it's not an illusion, but the sense of being really confident and, you know, having a clear idea of, you know, what the industry is about and just be in charge of things. And it's not that that's not true, but I really feel like I've been led by God, because everything that's happened to me, I really didn't know what I was getting into, but it turned out right, and I had a sense, oh, I want to try that.
You were not fearful to try. And
well, I was scared to death, but I went in.
Well, we wouldn't know it. We would not know it. I mean, you really are a trailblazer. You're a trailblazer. And you know, that's what we all see and hear. You mention your name, everybody knows who you are. Everybody. And what I also want to focus on for a moment is your career on Broadway. And being a Tony Award winner. So that is a big moment.
No, it's huge.
So we have to talk about that. So tell us again, because this was, again, these are things that are still rare today in the community out here,
yeah.
And they don't
yeah.
happen just to any old and everybody. So how did this come about for you, Melba? Tell us how it came about.
Well, I'll try to kind of
give us the
point so I can actually start from the beginning.
Okay.
And two things to just give you kind of like a an outline of what happened.
Sure.
My mother was a professional singer, but she had a romantic interlude with my father, who was a big band leader. His name is Teddy Hill. It was Teddy Hill. She got pregnant, had me, and so she was a single parent, which meant I had a broken family like many of us do, and she was out trying to take care of me and her mother, who had had strokes, they were from Bethlehem, Alabama. So she brought her up to New York and had her with me, and we had what we used to call a governess or a nanny.
Yes.
And so my mother was gone all the time, and I didn't have a father there. So it was like very unstructured, well, like it should be, family. So I was raised by a nanny who was orphaned, illiterate, and from the backwoods of South Carolina, moved from one sharecropper's farm to the other, and somehow made her way up north, and that's who I was raised by. But my mother put me in Catholic school, so I had a great beginning of education in New York City,
yes.
And I think that's why that stayed with me. I'm still born again, and that's my focus, and I think that's why things really happen for me still. But then she married my stepfather, whom she formed a performing act with. He was a piano player, and he just passed away 3 years ago, but at 101 years old.
Wow.
So I really have a zest for life. Got to hold on. He always said, never give up.
Wow.
And he had a son and a daughter by a former marriage. His first wife had passed away. And I used to pray for a sister and a brother because I wanted siblings, and I was very, very lonely. So we moved from New York to New Jersey, where I continued my family life and learning how to be really the first community that you're in is your family. And learning to fellowship. I had now aunts and uncles and cousins. I had a family. I wasn't isolated and disjointed that way. A lot of damage had been done to me and some abuse because there was no father, no mother there. But that was all remedied. And then my parents really insisted that we get a good education. So that continued. But by the time I got to like junior high school, well, before that, because he made us all take piano lessons, we discovered I could sing. So he didn't make me take voice lessons. He made sure I continued with my piano lessons.
Mm.
But by the time we got to junior high school and it was time to figure out where you're going to go to high school, I discovered Arts High School in Newark, and I had fallen so much in love with music that I decided I wanted to see if I could get in there, audition there, and major in music and really focus on music. And I did that, and then when it was time to go to college, I wanted to go to Manhattan School of Music or Juilliard or something like that, but we didn't have the money, and I didn't have the confidence or the information to try out for scholarships, so I went to Montclair Teachers College to major in music education. Make a long story a little bit short, then I went into the public schools of Newark, New Jersey to teach music, and I happened to be a gifted teacher But I didn't want to teach. I wanted to be a performer.
Exactly.
So I asked my dad to take him around to some of his colleagues to get me into the industry as a musician. And one of the first people I met was Valerie Simpson, who was at some music publisher's office, and we were both in the waiting area to meet our prospective people that we were going to see. We exchanged numbers, and she got me started in studio backup singing work, where you sing what used to call oohs and ahs. People have a
oh, yeah.
session, they hire backup singers.
Yes.
So she was at the top of that part of her industry. She's always been a great entrepreneur, too, and great leader, as well as great musician. It was before her and Nick, of course, were married. We were at the very beginning of our careers in life.
Wow.
And on one of the recording sessions, a very talented musician by the name of Galt McDermott, who is a keyboardist and the composer for the music for the Broadway show Hair, was doing his performance of the music, and he was being assisted by Jim Rado and Jerry Ragney, who were the two male stars of the Broadway show, and they had also written the book and the lyrics for the song, the book for the music, the story, and they were the two stars. And the session went on for about 2 weeks or so. First of all, I was what I call a Black American princess, a bat. Only thing I knew about Dippy is what I had seen on TV. But these two gentlemen, Jim and Jerry, were hippies. And like one of them, he had bright red, bushy, curly hair. He looked like his fingers were stuck in a live plug. He was wild and crazy looking. And he didn't have on no shoes. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, after the session went on for a couple of weeks, he came up and asked me if I would like to do Hair. But I had never seen a Broadway show, and I never heard anything about Hair. So I said, well, I don't have a Bachelor of Arts degree in music to do nobody's hair, so no. And so he explained to me that it was going to be a Broadway show. I said, oh, okay. And that, you know, really basically they had been auditioning for us if we wanted to be a part of it because they were still casting for it. So I went and sang for the director and the producer. I got a part in the show. I wound up doing one of the featured parts, which was a parody on The Supremes. And to make a long story a little shorter, before I left the show, I auditioned for and got the female lead in the show. And so doing, I became the first Black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway, but the actress just happened to be Diane Keaton. That's just to give you a little bit of what happened to me. It's not like I knew what I was doing.
Well, that is just
learning
amazing.
On the job. And
wow.
Then just to go on how I got into the position of getting a Tony Award, I was reminded by one of the girls in the chorus that I really did not know how to audition because that's not like an audition.
Right.
And she said, you need to learn how to audition. She told me about auditions for what turned out to be my second Broadway show, and she explained to me that when you go up for a role, you try to do some research on it, but you can get a script ahead of time. And you do what they call typecasting, where you try to look like the part.
Hmm.
Well, the part was from the backwoods, illiterate, cotton chopping, sharecropping girl, like the lady who raised me. So I was a shoo-in for that part.
You had a real-life person to draw from. And,
yes.
Wow.
And that's how I got the role, and then eventually, of course, got the Tony Award, and that really catapulted my career into a lot of television work. And after that, I met my later than husband, who really focused and redirected it into the recording industry and is the reason that I have this wonderful, huge catalog of great, 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 great songs and several different recording hits.
Absolutely. Well, I love the story. Now, let me ask you, though, did having the success on Broadway, how did you avoid being, shall we say, typecast in a sense, that like once they say that you're a Broadway actress, a Tony Award winning actress, we can't market you or cross, you know, move you over to a successful recording career. How did you avoid that not happening, so to speak?
So it did happen. We
went
to some of the top recording artists who were managers, and they all turned me down. So then my then-husband, Charles Huggins, said, well, let's figure out what we can do ourselves. And we just started inquiring, going to the different festivals and, conferences. You see what's going on in the industry. And seeing, as a matter of fact, my then husband got me back into the industry because I had lost everything by then, by taking me to the Metropolitan Opera House eventually. We didn't know what we were doing, but we formed it. We then, got people like Dan McCoy to record. He got my record deals for me. The first one was with Mercury Records with the Art Cast. No, that was Buddha Records. And eventually with CBS Records. And he went out and he formed what we called Hush Productions to give me a business team. And we became entrepreneurs that way. And we had to do it ourselves because the industry is so racist and so divided that if you didn't fit into that little category, you didn't have a way. So you had to make a way yourself. I don't want to go on and on and on, but that's basically how we started. But eventually we managed most of the R&B recording artists, R&B ones, during the 80s. We started, like, with Freddie Jackson, and he kind of opened the way. And he was a wonderful songwriter, and he was a word processor. He wasn't even in the industry.
I remember those.
Imagine that talent, right? he went out, and we got Kashif, we got Paul Lawrence, we managed McFadden and Whitehead.
Wow. That's saying a lot. That is saying, and just an amazing group of artists. Now, I have to say, you really know everybody. You've worked with everybody, or you've had some kind of interaction, or done tours, or what have you. You've done things with folks out there. I mean, I saw the pictures with you and Lena Horne and all these amazing artists, just amazing. Well, they were all in great company as well. But how do you feel now when you see that the industry is, in my words, it's a little different. We'll talk about that. But how do you feel where, those stars are just not so prevalent as much anymore, with that level of just something so, so how do you feel about,
I don't know. I don't think I agree with you, Carrie. I think it's very, very, very different. But I'll tell you something. For an example, I was one of the privileged people to be invited to open out at a celebration of what she called Oprah's Legends. And I was sitting across the picnic table with my daughter. Then this beautiful young lady she had such a soft voice. And I didn't hear her because I was chomping on my chicken wing. My daughter said, Ma, stop, listen. That's Halle Berry. I said, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Wow.
I mean, today, Halle Berry's like the latter-day Lena Horne.
Yes, she is.
Or
my gosh.
Or a type of,
Oscar-winning Miss Halle Berry.
Like that. Or I know. We were having lunch, and, I can't think of her name now. But Oprah said, she had the waiters bring these gifts to us. And they were at the table, and I heard somebody crying, and it was Debbie Allen. And on one side, it was Natalie Cole. I said, well, what's going on? What's wrong? And we opened the box, and it was these huge diamond earrings. And all of us were just gasping. I mean, things have changed a lot, but its icons are amazing. I mean, I've been to see Chaka Khan perform. And I said, how can she do that? But then she has the stamina of a man. She can play the drum.
I didn't realize Chaka could play the drum. Wow.
We have ridiculous talent today. There's a young lady, I don't know what her name is, but I was just honored at something called Black Women on Broadway. And she's playing the role of Tina Turner. You have to be an actor.
Oh, yes.
In order to
I know who you're talking about. She's just amazing. Amazing. Yes.
We don't know her name yet, but I'm sure we will.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely know her name. She looks a lot like Tina, too. I've seen Tina in concert, and I saw the young lady who's playing her part on Broadway, and she's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And just to be able to move like that, my goodness. Well,
How about Roger McDonald?
Listen, she is just, isn't she the record holder for Tonys for women? I mean, or she's for people, I think.
She ain't got room for them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she is. But I love her as well as her acting, too.
Every time you turn around, she's on Law and Order. It don't even
that's
have
true.
Nothing to do with music.
That's true. And her other show, the one that's on CBS on the series, they have a... She does the lawyer show that's out there as well. She's just got a big career. You guys know you can always Google her. Now, let me tell you, Melba Moore, first of all, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We're welcoming back a true legend, legend across the world of entertainment, the one and only Miss Melba Moore. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day, Miss Moore, to be with us.
Such a pleasure.
All right. Well, now I have to say, let's turn back to this amazing song, Just Do Me. My question, how did it come out of this idea as well about the, because you did mention a little bit at the top of our piece today about the, being at home and kind of being alone and kind of forced to being left to our own devices. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Just Do Me, because we just love this song.
To me, the heart of why it's successful, we had no idea that, the virus and the shut-in was going to happen. We did this song quite a long time ago, but sometimes you just have to wait and be patient. You don't know what's going to happen. As far as me, as a senior artist, things are so different. It's not like you have a record company that can control everything, and you have an A&R person, and you have a whole team, and you're not really allowed to go out and do anything with anybody else. It's a very independent entrepreneurial environment, not just for the entertainment industry. And I have worked with George Pettis, who's just, he's the one who's playing the piano on this, but he's a great songwriter. He writes a lot of the songs with his wife, Angela Pettis. But the important thing is, see, they didn't ask me how much I was going to pay them. They're artists. They just got together and said, we want to do this. They brought me to their house where he has a studio. And this is the songs I wrote for you. So we just experimenting, trying to see what's going to work. And I sang this song among many other songs. He took it. He said, well, I'm just going to go see what I want to do with it. Well, I didn't hound him to see what he was going to do. I had never heard of Terry Hunter.
I listened to the remix of it. Yes, I love that. I love it.
Terry Hunter, they do what they call mixes, what I would call the arrangements. Because the drum beats are very, very important to what the feel is going to be, what the dance genre is going to be, the tempos. George took the music and continued to work with it and tweak it and rearrange it. And then I signed a little letter of agreement with them that we'll split everything three ways. Other than that, there's really no detailed, complicated contractual agreement. In other words, just honor.
Love it.
That's
just artistry.
And because they are such geniuses and so great at what they do, and we trust each other, I have this huge hit.
Wow. Well, we're loving it. And we've been running it on right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Just
thank you.
We love it. We love it, Ms. Melba Moore. We do need to ask you, what's next for you, and what are some of the things out there? I know that you're doing quite a bit of things. Anything you want to kind of give us a little preview on for the fans of the show?
Well, we're kind of watching it each day as we go.
Yes.
And of course, because the song is so successful, it's going to direct a lot of projects that I'll probably be able to do virtually and learn how to continue to learn how to do videographic selfies.
Yes, our favorite thing.
You're going to have to help me out with the hair, okay?
We'll take care of that, Melba. We'll take care of that. And I always say, because we tease you with the last time you were with us, we were like from hair to hair radio, literally.
Right.
So you've done it. You've done it. We just love it.
Taking it one moment at a time, but I have a lot of things that are being offered to me now, and I believe that singing and musical performance is the centerpiece of my life, and it's a calling. It's not just a job. So that when I made that the the foundation and the centerpiece, I'm sure I'm going to write books. I'm going to do other merchandising. I'm going to do a clothing line because I pay attention to that, and we work with honor with wonderful people till great things happen. And there's going to be a whole other series of opportunities just online, I think, that didn't exist before. But a lot of other things are going to shut down. They just won't be able to do it because they've been designed for crowds to come into place, these huge crowds. You can't really do that anymore. That's going to change a lot. So we're going from day to day.
No, but thank you for that. And I just want to say the last question I have for you today, there was a because you mentioned about being from Newark, New Jersey, and there was, of course, the amazing Houston family. Now, you guys, didn't you know the Houstons and Whitney and her amazing family?
I'm very close friend with Dr. Sissy Houston.
Yes.
And, of course, my heart is still breaking over the passing of Whitney. It was like I lost a family member myself. And but she's been like just a
yeah.
I'm laughing because she's so like what do I call it? Real she's not fancy.
Well, Sissy Houston, let me tell you, I had an opportunity to get down to her street naming. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and we we're based out of Jersey. So, you know, East Orange and Bloomfield and Newark and all that is in our, you know, in our wheelhouse here. But what I loved about it, she had everybody there performing. And at the street naming ceremony at the New Hope Baptist Church there, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
And just she's just an incredible voice still. And so that's what I love about you. You guys are just, your voices are amazing.
But, of course, now, once again, you know, that's a Christian family. That's what's first.
Mm.
That's, they were all gospel singers, and, you know, we kind of understand that God owns it all.
Yes, that's right.
You don't know. You might see Sissy on the moon yet.
Well, we love everybody, the whole family. And Dionne Warwick
herself has
been on our show.
You know Dionne's part of that family, right?
Yeah, well, Dionne, she's been on the Hair Radio show. Her sister was, Dee Dee was also on our show twice. So
yes,
I interviewed her twice.
I was a friend of Dee Dee as well.
Yeah. I just love everybody. North Jersey, all that whole area, you guys, we love it. We love it. Miss Melba Moore, anything you want to leave us with today? Anything you want to say before we sign off?
Just be positive like you are. I'll keep your hair tight, baby. Okay.
All right. I'm loving it. All right. Just doing me, Miss Melba Moore. Thank you so much for being with us and taking the time. It really, really means a lot. And we're going to shout out Ryan. Thank you. And thanks so much, Miss Melba Moore.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
All right, folks. Stay with us. We got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? Not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Coming soon. Don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I
feel. And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning, May 19th of 2022. It's our show number 716. Again, Thursday morning.
And we are live out of Brooklyn, New York, to everybody everywhere, literally all over the place. We just want to say thank you to all of you guys for kind of hanging in there with us as we kind of wind down this week. We'll be live with you today, of course, and tomorrow. And then we're on a bit of a production break. We'll be back on Tuesday, the 31st of May. So right after Memorial Day, we'll be back live on the air. It's starting at 6 o'clock. So don't party too long that you oversleep and miss us. But, yeah, we'll be back live on the 31st of May at 6 in the morning from 6 to 9 Eastern with the brand new Hair Radio Morning Show. And so so folks have been asking, well, what exactly is a production break? How do they know where to go? How do they tune in? So we're going to give you all that information. Also, kind of go back over a little bit of what you heard today. I think I got some comments about Melba's appearance. Let me just bring to the line my amazing new co-star, Nicole Marie. She's out of Water Valley, you guys. Water Valley, Mississippi. Let me just go ahead and get that on out. And Otto, who is also always helping us mid-show as well from the Hamilton area, which is outside of, like, I guess, like Trenton and Philly, down in South Jersey Park of our neck of the woods. Good morning again. Welcome to the third hour, everybody. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Curry.
Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Yeah. It's actually kind of great to have you guys with us, of course. Listen, what did you guys think? Nicole Marie, let's start with you. Anything on Miss Melba's incredible career?
I love Melba Moore. I know her most from her listening to her music, but she has just had a phenomenal just career. You know, she definitely is a trailblazer, starting out, you know, on Broadway, which, you know, brought her the Tony Award, and then just the success from that just kind of catapulted her off into just so many other areas. And I just love her,
exactly.
And I love that interview.
Yeah, me too. She really is a trailblazer in every sense of the word. And when she mentioned that she had followed Diane Keaton on Broadway, and I was just watching Diane Keaton like about maybe 3-4 days ago on the Drew Barrymore show and on CBS, and I was like, wow, how incredible that this woman is out there doing what she's doing. And the only reason Melba kind of got came into my mind this morning to get on her classic interview with us is, of course, because of her song Just Doing Me. But what I love, which I'm playing in the background there, but what I love is that Melba also, she's going to be at Upscale. The Upscale magazine is supporting an event through the George Floyd sound. Well, it's a foundation. I'll tell you all about it a little bit more in just a moment or so. But, yeah, I love the song. It's just incredible. Again, Just Do Me, Melba Moore.
Yeah,
you guys
so do I.
It. Yeah,
yeah,
out there. So she's doing some great stuff. Yeah. Otto, what about you? Did you hear anything in Miss Melba?
Absolutely.
Had you been a fan? Okay, tell us a little bit. Fill us on in, Otto.
Okay, Gary. I see a theme, like yourself, the icons, herself, of Melba Moore. What a humble woman. Of the entrepreneurship. You know, she started in the church choir, and then she ended up going to the Tonys and, I mean, winning a Tony and replacing Diane Keaton. So I think it's good for all entrepreneurs to think to themselves, you never know, just keep going, you know. Who would know that, singing in the church choir, then ended up being the icon that she became. It's just amazing.
Exactly. Go right ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no. It helps me. It helps me because we all have a dream. And, you know, and it's just reinforcing that thread of entrepreneurship, not giving up, passion. So it was very, I loved it. It was an insight that I enjoyed her. And she's such a humble woman, you know, for being so successful.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
she's great.
I think that's what,
and I also love that she's still, after all of these years, she's done so many different things, but she's still coming out with music. She's still persevering, and she talked about a clothing line, a book, and, I mean, she's still moving.
Exactly.
She's still she's still continuing to persevere and just do great projects.
And speaking of
back,
which, guys, she, among several others, are going to be at, actually, let me just get this out, it's the first annual George Floyd Memorial Concert. And it's happening right around, it's in my neck of the woods, actually. It's on May 24th. That's not too far from right now. So it's about 5 days away. So it's May 24th. It's called A Soulful Heart is Memorializing, or this is what they have stated. It says, help a soulful heart memorialize George Floyd Jr. to ensure that racially motivated massacres like the Buffalo, New York shooting never happen again. And please join them in the fight against racism in America. It's more like a war to me, and it's not just a fight. It's a battle beyond words. But it needs to be definitely ended. So this is really great. We support them. Upscale Magazine is helping to get the word out, and we are helping Upscale Magazine help these folks, again, A Soulful Heart, in getting the word out. And Melba's to perform, among several others who are there, Kim Burrell and quite a few others are participating. So you can Google.
That's wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
That is George. Yeah, and what I'm understanding and what they sent over is that George Floyd, the man who, you know the story, who, you know, his death sparked an entire movement around the world. One of George's uncles co-founded this organization. So please support them. Again, it's this on the 24th of May of 2022, so coming right up in a few days. Okay, so turning over to, I want to talk about a topic. Let's get some folks on this morning. Again, we're live out of New York City and need some background music. We're going to fill up the sound today. But want to talk about one of the news segments that's out there. Usually we kind of steer clear a lot of the things that you can just turn on the TV and hear a few things, you know, but I think this is a subject that kind of got my attention. And what they're talking about these days is, I don't quite understand how this can happen, but I'm just curious, the food there is, we don't have a shortage of food, we just have a shortage of folks with hearts, in my opinion. But what I want to say, the baby food, fiasco. And so, Nicole Marie, you are the first lady of the Hair Radio Morning Show, if you will. You're the only lady that we have in our hair team. So what do you say, being a mother, you know, what do you say about something like this? I mean, can you just, it's hard for a guy, I can speak for myself to imagine this, but I couldn't even begin to think what a lady might think who, I just don't even know where to go. What do you want to say about this, Nicole Marie? Have you heard about all of this?
Most definitely, Carrie. No, we're looking at families and caregivers that are in a panic, they're stressed, they're desperate to feed their babies. Yes, this is the first time that we're talking about this on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm a mom, and I definitely sympathize and just feel so bad for the millions of families that are being affected by this crisis. I can't even imagine that feeling of desperation that, okay, I cannot feed my baby. Just the feeling of, you know, you're looking everywhere, you know, you're going to stores, you're online, some are being put on waiting lists, others are not being able to afford it just because of the shortage. There's price gouging at retail stores. And it's just a very sad and disheartening situation that is so detrimental to the babies and their health.
Exactly.
And
profound effect, right? Yeah.
And then,
what else?
Food shortage has turned into just a nationwide food crisis for these parents across the country, and just put people in a state of desperation.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just wanted to say on that, that it's beyond disheartening. You know, it really is.
Yes.
It's just incredibly,
yes,
like, it's outlandishly crazy to me. And I'm so sorry because it's not as it's very complicated thing that you have to be careful because you have children with all kinds of allergies. You've,
yes,
got people, on top of that. And it's not so simple. Then, now take a listen to this. And I'm going to try to get this correct, but I want you guys to Google it as well. They have said, because a lot of these, they have special programs that the government set up. I want to say it's called WIC. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but
that's
they
correct.
Provide the nutrition, you know, but they have a certain brand that they insist, or I won't say insist, but that only, you those parents have to only use that particular baby
formula,
a certain brand. And so now the government is stepping in to try to, you know, the president has signed some other act to, you know, with the supplies to make sure that these companies that are producing this must do that first to kind of, you know, to ease this whole thing. But
that's
what
the
always,
Defense,
what,
Defense Production Act.
Right, exactly. Thank you for that. And but I'm looking, the thing to me, in the moment that I heard about the WIC, what have you, those people or whatever, the government program that compels them to use a certain brand, I said, oh, my goodness, that sounds like a contract to me. That's what went through my mind, where they have all these brands, and they may have a reason for it. Not that things are always sinister, but it just went through my mind. And so now they have eased it so they'll be able to have other options, which meant that even that, like, you know, like your hands are literally tied.
Yeah.
You know, who's, you know, while we're out, listen, I'm supporting America in every which way we can. And you know, but who's watching what's going on? I mean, you know, if you run a business, somebody is always, if they're charged with this, how do you have departments and departments? And trust me, they've got departments going 95 south, you know, we say here in the Northeast.
Yeah.
But so many different departments. But it just seems like top-heavy bureaucracy, because who in the world is not, how on earth do you allow something like this to happen? And you're sending millions across to, you know, to the Ukraine. Which nothing against, you know, the Ukrainian, the folks with Ukrainian, the efforts to thwart the Russian takeover of the Ukraine. But my thing is this, what on earth, who's watching America?
Exactly.
Who's watching America? And who cares about America? Because you're getting the feeling that the way that, I wonder what on, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It's one shocking.
We help so many others. Like who's watching and helping us? Like you said, watching
Exactly. Now, I know that sounds awful, and we love everybody all over the world. Otto, I know you want to jump in. What do you want to say?
Thank you, Curry. Nicole, Marie, thank you. This is touches my heart. I have three children, and boy, oh, boy. The first thing I think is, how could this happen, you know, in our country? This is crazy. But I think also a lot of you got to be careful, because some of the mothers medically can't even breastfeed. And I understand,
exactly.
And I know from the first year, you know, you can't take milk. You know, children can't have solids, basically. So what do you do? You know, what do the poor mothers do from the, you know, if they can't breastfeed? So, and then they're desperate, so they're going online. You know, and there's predatory things going on there. So you have to, they say, if you go online, please, you know, make sure it's FDA standards at least. And then what they came up with is all donor banks, donor milk banks. It's unbelievable. Women are donating breast milk for the other mothers. And that's unbelievable. And one of the big things I know is you cannot dilute your formula trying to stretch it. It'll take out
the nutrients,
not there.
Tell people, Yeah, folks, go online, get with, make sure even your pediatrician follows stuff that they might be able to help you with things like this. So I want to send you to those folks and do your own research, but take it very seriously, as I don't just point out, amongst other things. There's so many other things. And Nicole Marie, please be well aware as, you know, this, and we will continue to kind of follow this. We will. And keep you informed. You likely will know about it unless the same time we find out about it. But I hope this really alleviates and kind of gets back on track correctly very soon. And that just tells me we have really, we've got to look out for each other, folks. You know,
take care of one another.
Exactly, because it seems like there's no cavalry coming to save us here. So we better kind of help and support each other. Okay, so that's one of the things. If you guys have a comment before we move away from the conversation, just press 1. If you dial the 516 number, we'd be glad to get you on to talk. If you have a comment, this is a good time to press the 1, and we'll get you on. Because to me,
yeah, I'd like to hear more. Yeah, I'd like to hear more from other
folks.
Yeah,
that'd be great. That would be nice. Yeah, I agree. While we're waiting for folks to chime on in, want to say that Upscale Magazine, I don't know if you guys saw it. I shared it on Facebook and out across my social media. And it was really, it's a beautiful cover on the wedding issue.
Yeah,
I call it the
beautiful.
I call it like marriage. And yeah, it's a beautiful bride. They're all in white. It's a gorgeous cover. It's the June/July, so it's for 2 months of 2022. So it's coming up. You guys got an early preview of it, and it should be on the newsstands all over the country. I think there's a mention in there for me. We'll see. I'm not sure, but I love the magazine, and you can find out a whole bunch more about it by going to upscalemagazine.com. And a little later on tomorrow's show, I think it is actually, we'll talk a little bit more about Upscale, the radio network that we're producing on their behalf. So a whole bunch of stuff going on. So it looks like we have, I think we got a person standing by. Let me see if I can guess who this is. I think I know this number.
I wonder
who this person is. Hello, Ashanta. Ashanta. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ashanta.
Morning, Ashanta.
What a beautiful topic. Okay.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, you're out there in the way of nursing and so many other things. Of course, you have your own wonderful product, Organic Love Collection. Let me just so you guys hear the commercial here. But, Kate, I want to talk with you. What are your thoughts on this, Shanta? And see if you guys can try your best to control a little bit of background noise if you can. But what can you say?
I'm driving. I'm on my way to work.
Oh, you're driving.
Okay.
Well, give us real quick a sentence on this.
Basically, I agree with everything you all were saying. And, you know, you can't turn breastfeeding on and off. I breastfed for two and a half years. And it's a tedious task. And moreover, if we're going to have to turn to breastfeeding, we have to also look at the programs we have in place for the people that are impoverished, so they'll have more ways to get food and nutrients so they can breastfeed efficiently. And thank you for bringing up this topic because, you know, it returns us to what's important in family matters. And you have definitely covered the gamut as far as all things that we need to think about as far as, you know, nutrition. Thank you. And forgive me for the background noise.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you.
Thank
it was
you,
worth
Shanta.
It, Shanta.
That was
all
great,
right.
Shanta.
Shanta.
Thank
you.
You
got to come back and join us. Yeah, you got to come back and join us when you get some time, opens up in your schedule. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Okay, great stuff. Great drive by.
Thank you.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Shanta. Have a great day.
Okay, Shanta's always doing some big stuff out there. What do you guys, Nicole Marie, what do you think about what Shanta said?
I definitely agree with that. There are, you know, programs that are out there that definitely
affect the black community. And I know that is one area, as, you know, we talked earlier about the WIC program, nutrition program, and so forth.
What
and,
exactly is the program? How do you spell it? Is it W? How do you spell
it? W-I-C.
W-I-C. W-I-C. Okay, thank you for that. I heard of it, you know, I had heard of it, but I wasn't as familiar, so I apologize for that, and I should have Googled before we got on the air today. I'll Google after the show. So, no, don't send me letters. Okay, but I did hear about the program a little bit in that. So maybe there's some
women
reasons
infant
behind
children.
It, guys. Yeah, that's wow. Okay. Well, listen, so we're going to keep following this. We had just started
Most
to
definitely.
Talk a little bit about the magazine. Yeah, and if you guys out there, again, press one. We are would love to get you on and still get a little bit. We have a little bit more time. We can get some more insight. Now, the cover, please, guys, support the magazine, support everything that's happening. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to continue a whole bunch of conversations. I have a surprise guest who looks like they'll be chiming on in, so that's always fun and exciting. So I'm real happy about that.
Great.
And we're just doing some big things. Let me see. Okay, thank you, Michael. Hopkins, okay, awesome. I appreciate the comment. Yeah, Melba, you guys are kind of doing some follow-up on some of the things that we've gotten on today. Melba's just an incredible artist. And for me personally, I love her songs so much. Her stuff, she has some great music. I don't know if you guys don't know it. You need to take a listen. And listen, as I always say, with new ears, and that's really true. So, okay, so I'll tell you what, why don't we take a little bit of a break here? And you know what, I want to switch gears. You know what I really want to talk about, guys?
What's that?
I think
What's that,
this
Harry?
Is something that I've never talked on this subject before, but it is on friends and relationships and things of that nature, of all sorts, whether they are husband and wives and brothers or sisters or brothers and sisters or cousins and uncles or best friends. I want to talk, it's such a big thing out there. And everybody's dealing with and trying to navigate friendships and relationships on so many different levels. And I wanted to say, you know, to talk about what goes into long-term friendships and choosing the right friends. And certainly, how do you get rid of folks who are not your friends? Or do you keep them around? Maybe you don't get rid of them. Sometimes we think we can salvage relationships. And so we're going to talk all about that. Can't wait to hear what you guys got to say. And to me, I don't know if we have enough time to get into that, but we're going to start it. We're going to start that conversation today. Because, again, it's something that I've always wanted the feedback of the fans to hear what the people – you know, how they are going about their lives and sometimes having toxic friendships, and how do you recognize that? So why don't we get some, I have a few, you know, I just want to get some RuPaul on, and we'll be right back. Just stay with us, everybody. You know what, let me, one of, and we're going to shout out to Mr. Otto, our wonderful model here. This supermodel by RuPaul. Don't know if you know who RuPaul is, but so we'll go ahead and get this song on, and we'll talk after that. So be ready.
Well,
we've got
thank you, Gary Hines. Thank you so much.
Once upon a time,
they would have spoke.
There was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
Work.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines with Nicole Marie and Otto. And
hello.
It's Thursday morning. It's May 19th.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. All right,
good morning.
Folks. Well, listen, you guys were just listening to Supermodel. That was from the incredible RuPaul. It's been out there for years, a big staple, especially in the gay community. And I just wanted to mention that in June in New York City, it's a big Pride month. So we're going to have some folks on with us the early part of when we come back on the 31st, I think, or so. We'll have a special guest joining us who company is doing big things out there in the way of diversity in that community. So I'm excited with all the folks coming. Lots of new interviews. You've never heard from these, you know, of these people. So I'm super excited. I can't wait because you learn something. Well, you know, you learn something with every, to me, at least I'm going to just raise my hand. I learned something with every single interview. And we've done thousands at this point, literally over a good, at least between, I estimate between 2,100 and 5,000 interviews on this, just the new morning show.
Wow.
So, that's what we've done. I mean, it's every day. We're here. They stack up, folks. They stack up. So before we went to the quick music break, we were just talking about relationships and friendships and all of that. You know, I'll kick it off myself. I can actually say most of my friends have been around for many years, as you would imagine. But I really, you know, it just depends. I call the fans of our show, I call all of you guys my friends, of course. But in my personal life, off the air, that slim amount of time that I don't get to, you know, talk with you guys, I'm always cultivating my friendships. You know, they're not easy to navigate. I think I mentioned that part. And so, but most of my friends have been with me for a long time. But some I've had to, you know, some have just dropped off. You know, as you go on through life, they kind of fall off, or you wake up and you realize you don't have much in common anymore, or they have gone on a different path. I have other friends who have gotten married and have families, and they don't have time for you anymore, which is understandable. And some friends might feel the same way about me. You know, I have a business that's been around for about 30 years. And all kinds of folks who, you know, you're responsible for. So you don't have the time. I can't sit back and kick it back, you know, every day with my buddies.
Right.
You know, we have responsibilities. So how about you guys? How do you feel about friends? Do you have any? Of course you do. So, Otto, let's lead in with the man with the big heart, Otto, from down in Hamilton, New Jersey, outside of Philly.
Sir.
What do you have to say, Otto? So do you have a whole bunch of friends or just a couple? What do you feel like? How do you feel about the subject and relationships?
Okay, great topic. I think we had spoke, you know, before about this, and when I was young, my mother said, you'll be lucky if you can count your friends when you get older on one hand, you know. So I find that to be true. I don't have as many nearly at all, actually. And I find that so-called friends, their need of you, until their needs change, you don't hear from them again. You know, like you had said, you know. So, and now I'll tell you what, I personally have to change my values, and you look at people different, you look at yourself different, but I think it's sometimes I'd rather be alone than in bad company. You know what I mean? I'd rather sit alone than in bad, because awkward sitting there, you don't like their values, their speech, you know, their negativity. So you know, I find myself spending, as I get older, more time alone. My children are always in my life on a daily basis, but pretty much friends, like I said, when their needs change, watch what happens. Tell them no one
so
time.
True.
Tell them no.
Wow.
And then you'll see what kind of friend you got. You know, that's my thoughts on it, my friend. My friend. My friend Kerry Hines. That's pretty much it. So just be careful, you know, and you'll see the change. you know.
Definitely.
So that's pretty much, I haven't really, you know, I look back and I was in weddings and funerals and friends, quote, and I haven't talked to them, you know, in 25 years. How close were we, you know? So,
all right, Nicole, Marie.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about it as well?
Well, for myself, I have very few friends because I believe that you have friends that are really true friends and you have acquaintances. I think people get those two confused. My friends, several of them are lifelong friends. I've been friends with them for years. We have gone through life's ups and downs together, and they are truly long-term friends. They're family. And I believe that people come into your life for a season. And during that time, there's something you learn, you grow, whether it's a good relationship or bad relationship. And that, you know, sometimes those friendships fall off. And, you know, as life changes, your friends change as well. Just like Otto had talked about, you know, some, you know, want you for something. And when you say no, then, okay, you don't hear from them anymore. Okay, those are not your true friends, because if they're true friends, they're with you through the thin, through the thick and the thin, and, you know, you're going through this life together. You are truly a friend. So that is very – friendship is very personal to me. I put a lot into my friends, just like they put a lot into me and our relationships. I'm always working on those relationships, and it's just very, very important to me. But like I said, I believe that people confuse friends and acquaintances. It's two different things. And a true friend is there no matter what.
And you said, Nicole Marie, people come into your life for a season, as they say. And the other part to that, a season or a reason. And we've got a caller in. I know this party. It looks like Miss Katrina is there. Good morning, Katrina. One from the talk radio show. I see you raising your hand to speak, Katrina. What do you want to say this morning out of Paris, Texas? Good morning. You're on with your crew.
Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Katrina. How are you?
So you've been listening, Katrina. You've been listening. Yeah. What would you like to say?
Otto and Nicole took the words right out my mouth.
Okay.
Because you can be friends for a very long time, or you think you're friends. Because sometimes you can think your friends who you've been friends with for a very long time have been your best friends until later on down the line you find out they ain't never been a true friend to you as you have been a true friend to them.
Right.
Yes, I agree. Yes, Katrina, I was just going to say, but doesn't it also sometimes feel that it could be your expectations of the friendship? Like, they may have always felt a certain way about you, but you just may, in other words, you think more of them than they think of you.
No, this is, we're friends from coming up all the way from graduation.
Oh, lifelong friends.
Still running together. Yeah. This is what type of friends I'm talking about. I've had to cut two of them loose like that.
Oh, my. Well, hold on. I got to hear these stories, Katrina. So hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, can you tell us real quick? So, you know what, we're going to have to move this convo till tomorrow. I have to apologize to everybody for opening up a huge powder keg of a topic, you know, 10 minutes before we go off the air, so I apologize for that.
We can go on and on, Carrie.
This is huge. We literally could be on until tomorrow's show about the topic because there's so many different levels, and I really want to explore this. So I hope you guys are ready, and I just don't want to stop with the friends, but I want to talk about folks who may not be your friends, but I also want to talk about some family dynamics because a lot of us, you know, there's this, remember that saying that, you know, once you get older, your friends become your family and your family become your friends. And so I kind of live by that. So how about this, guys? And I hope you guys have enjoyed today's Thursday edition on this May 19th of 2022. It's been our show number 716. And thank you, Katrina. Thank you so much. Katrina Guys is with the Vet Talk Radio Show and Michael Hopkins and Noor Jahan. So we're shouting them out this morning, as well as Nicole, our illustrious Nicole Marie. Let me not forget you because you're over on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But tomorrow, guys, Otto, Nicole Marie, I think this would be a fascinating topic to do perhaps mid-show.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's really kind of interesting. And I've got a story you don't want to miss. I've never told it, but I'll be telling it tomorrow. And, again, we'll see if I can get my special guest on. I think you're going to love this.
Great.
I really do.
Tune in for that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think, folks, I think this is something that we need to talk about. I think that people can, you can learn by listening to other stories. And I think that's what this show has, the Hair Radio Morning Show has done. It's allowed for others to kind of, you know, I think so. And so I just want to say thank you. Remember to go to our website and visit our store. Pick up stuff that supports the radio show. Those little pennies help to offset things over here. So please support hairradio.com any which way you can. Pass us along.
Definitely.
We still are always in the market for folks who are trying to advertise and be guests on this show. We have been around for 27 years exactly. And for this broadcast, my company longer, and so forth. But if you play the show back today, you'll hear how we got started. So all that is shared in the first, I think, hour of today's broadcast.
Amazing.
So I'm looking forward to it. Was it a good show? Did you guys enjoy
the
show?
It was a great show, yes.
Thanks, fans. Thanks to all the fans for tuning in and listening. And
thank you for listening.
Got a minute. Take a tour through the gift store. It's wonderful. I love
My T-shirts.
All the mugs.
Lots of great products.
Yeah,
the mugs
t-shirts.
You're going to love. Yes, all that wonderful stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all of that. Now, folks, don't forget, tomorrow's a big show, and it's the last time you're going to catch us live until literally almost June 1st. So we'll be back like that 31st for the next live show. Michael Hopkins will be on. That's a Tuesday. So we'll be celebrating somebody's birthday around there somewhere and all that's happening with what they've got going on at Vet Talk. But and we've got some surprises on the Hair Radio Morning Show side as well. So listen, folks, it's been a great day. It really has. Why don't we go ahead and get the outro on? You'll have a little bit more of that today. And thanks so much for being with us. I've loved today's show.
Great.
Has it not been a nice show? Yeah, let me just go ahead. How about this, folks? Let's just play off to Miss Melba Moore, Just Doing Me. So you've heard my outro a million times. And I want to thank our, of course, FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution, Organic Love Collection, all of the folks who are advertising with us, our sponsors and people who are helping to keep this show on the air. We thank you.
Yep.
And that's really it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so here is Melba's song. I love it. I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 6. Take care.